Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, a celebration of Halloween with an audience ready to celebrate.
But I see you sitting in those comfortable seats. I only see one person swinging from the rafters, and he's a major funder.
We promise to examine all things All Hallows, the traditions, the myths, the superstitions.
You meet your true love,
you just do.
If you look in the mirror, yep. There he is.
That's
there
the first is. Of the
and
legends.
And I had to wait till 36 to get married and no one told me that?
We think that after this week's show, you'll more appreciate the ins and outs of pagan rites peculiar to this date. So even as the clocks are set, more darkness to facilitate, come ponder spooks and ghosts and ghouls and such, please come participate. Says You returns after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. In what's believed to be his first interview with a Western journalist since Syria's uprising began 7 months ago, President Bashar al-Assad has issued a sharp warning against outside intervention. Larry Miller reports he told London's Sunday Telegraph newspaper his regime could cause another Afghanistan.
President Assad says he expects the West to, in his words, definitely ratchet up the pressure, but warns Syria is different from other Arab Spring countries. He describes Syria as the hub of the region, the fault line, and if you play with the ground, you'll cause an earthquake. He goes on to say, do you want another Afghanistan or tens of Afghanistans? He claims his forces are only targeting Islamic terrorists. Assad warns if the plan is to divide Syria, the whole region will burn. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Occupy Wall Street protests continue this weekend in several states. Police in Portland, Oregon arrested 30 people early this morning when they defied a midnight curfew. In Denver, 15 demonstrators were taken into custody after they tried to stop the police from taking down their tents. Protesters in Nashville are claiming a small victory. They continue to violate a new curfew, but last night state troopers looked the other way. Blake Farmer of member station WPLN reports.
Since Thursday night, any protester who refused to leave a public plaza was arrested. At least one journalist covering the demonstration was handcuffed and hauled away. However, a night court judge has been refusing to sign the arrest warrants, saying no one has the right to institute a curfew around the state capitol. It all seemed to strengthen the resolve of protesters and add to their ranks. A group of about 75 prepared to be taken in Saturday night, but the troopers never came. At dawn, demonstrators danced in celebration and to keep warm, chanting, "Whose plaza? Our plaza." For NPR News, I'm Blake Farmer in Nashville.
Millions of residents in the Northeast are without power after a rare October snowstorm. Member station WNPR's Diane Orson reports.
It's been just over a month since Connecticut's historic power outages in the wake of Tropical Storm Irene. This time, at the peak of the outages, more than 730,000 state residents were again in the dark. Connecticut Light and Power spokesman Frank Pyro says the wet snow is bringing down branches and entire trees.
What made the trees even more vulnerable was the fact that they still had leaves on them, too. So you just couldn't ask for a worse situation.
Governor Dana Malloy has declared a state of emergency and ordered all non-emergency vehicles off two of the state's heavily traveled roads, the Wilbur Cross and Merritt Parkways. For NPR News, I'm Diane Orson in New Haven.
Officials in Atchison, Kansas say three people are still missing after an explosion at a grain elevator yesterday. They plan to bring in heavy equipment to dig through the rubble. Three workers were killed in the blast. This is NPR News from Washington. The Australian government is asking a court to order Qantas Airways back into the air. The airline abruptly canceled all flights yesterday because of a labor dispute, stranding tens of thousands of passengers. The airline already had reduced and rescheduled flights after union workers went on strike. Qantas says it won't resume flights until there's an agreement with the unions. The Australian government today urged a three-judge panel to order workers back to work, saying a resumption of service is in the country's economic interest. Big-time auto racing has come to India with the first Formula One Grand Prix. NPR's Corey Flintoff reports the race is being marketed as a step in the country's emergence as an economic power.
The scream of Formula One racing engines blared across the newly built track not far from New Delhi. Sebastian Vettel, the current world champion, won the race for the Red Bull Racing Team. The race has been hyped in the Indian media as a glamorous new sport for India's growing wealthy class, and the stands were packed with fans. The after-race party features a performance by Lady Gaga. Critics say the event is just another opportunity for commercialism and conspicuous consumption in a country where hundreds of millions of people live in dire poverty. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, New Delhi.
While fast cars were whizzing near New Delhi, thousands of sheep are wandering downtown Madrid. A shepherd's council first established in 1273 organized the event to exercise the shepherd's ancient right to drive their flocks along routes that existed long before Madrid. Following an age-old tradition, a chief herdsman used 25 coins from the 11th century to pay the toll. I'm Noor Rahm, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at GatesFoundation.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Seattle comes from the Fairmont Olympic Hotel. Historic elegance in the heart of Seattle. On the web at fairmont.com/Seattle.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. From the stage at Town Hall Seattle in Seattle, Washington, welcome to a scary Halloween edition of Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits Steria Wright. She's our queen of Halloween, Says You's It Ghoul, Miss Francine Akbar. Hey. Oh, no, please. He hasn't missed a buffet since we got here. Been gobbling everything in sight, Barry Nolan. And for him, the spookier the better. He's a regular mummy's boy, Mr. Tony Khan. And on this occasion, who leads?
Mummy's favorite.
Tony will be the captain. To my left, Team 2. He tries to sweeten his humor, but it's usually just candy corn. Arnie Reisman. She buys bagfuls of chocolate for children, some of which she actually gives out. Paula Lyons.
And
though she treated, someone still soaped her windows. I guess this is the pranks she gets. Miss Carolyn Fay Fox. Who would dare lead on Halloween?
The trickster.
The trickster. The prankster.
The pain.
The pain.
Carolyn, will captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab pen and paper. Let's begin with a test of your Halloween IQ. Do your dead level best to answer these devilish Halloween queries. Carolyn, in true Says You tradition, let's go to the core of the matter. Where does the name Halloween come from?
All Hallows Eve.
Yeah.
Yes, Paula can.
Yeah, I think it's the night before All Saints Day on the Christian calendar.
The evening before All Hallowed Saints Day.
Yes. And, of course, a hallow is?
A hallow?
Hello.
It's whatever.
That works for me. That's fine. Hallow is a sainted person.
Yes.
A hallow is a saint or a sainted personage. The een is the evening before, in this case, before All Hallows Day, Halloween. Try this one, Tony. 54.72 seconds is now part of Halloween lore. Can you imagine why this might be true?
54.72
seconds.
It sounds like either latitude or longitude.
No. Oh, what a great guess, though.
Okay.
That's what my GPS always says. And it's 5467, and you know, I hope someday I'll be found there.
But yes. It's actually time. We're talking about time here. 54.72 seconds.
5,000.
Oh, I think the other side has a thought about this.
Time.
Is this a Guinness Book of World Records record?
It certainly is.
Mm-hmm. And it would
the number of candies. Would that be the number of candies that somebody ate in the course of a Halloween?
No.
Oh, it's time.
Does this involve eating or carving?
Yes, it does.
Yes. Take it, Tony.
I've lost all hope. I'm in a state of despair.
Eating or carving in that number of
eating
seconds?
Eating or carving.
The it does. So it would be the time, the fastest time ever for...
Pumpkins. Something about pumpkins.
Eating a
making
pumpkin.
A jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
It took about 10 times that long for them to come up with the answer.
Yeah, right. Got about 5 jack-o'-lanterns carved over here.
Yeah. 54.72 seconds, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. It's the fastest time for carving a face on a pumpkin set by Stephen Clark on October 23rd, 2001. Is Mr. Clark in the audience?
No.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that. Right. Try this one, Arnie. The Depression era in America turned out to be a great time for treats, not so for tricks. Can you explain...
Is it because people were so down and out already, even a nasty little kid wouldn't dare pull a destructive trick on them?
You know, you're getting there.
There's
a certain thing that occurred during this period, and I don't know how many people are aware of it.
Everybody ran out of electricity.
Right.
The candy bars invented fun size.
No, it actually...
Fun size.
Yeah.
I read this in one source that it was actually one of the most successful public service campaigns in the history of this country.
So what, did the president ask all the children of America to be nice on Halloween?
He did.
Oh.
I don't know if there's anyone old enough to remember this or whatever, but right up there with Don't Be a Litter Bug, mm-hmm. Okay?
Really?
One of the most successful public service campaigns in America. Evidently, around 1930, it was getting out of hand, and people's hostility was rising to the point where it wasn't just tipping over outhouses anymore. It was getting fairly destructive.
Tommy guns, right.
So the government put out a public service campaign to tell children to go door-to-door and ask for candy as an alternative to vandalism.
Oh. What were they asking for before?
Thus planting the seeds of America's obesity epidemic.
Exactly. And I know that even though the practice of asking for soul cakes goes back centuries, this really made indulgence profitable. That's when it turned around.
All right.
I'll be darned.
Amazing. Try this one, Francine. In what room of a witch's house would you keep a grimoire?
A grimoire?
G-R-I-M-O-I-R-E, grimoire.
In the bathroom.
Bathroom? A grimoire. A grimoire is a armoire for your witch's stuff?
If it were a cot, then it would be the kitchen.
How large a house are we thinking of the typical witches having?
Yeah.
Where they have a slab ranch with 3 bedrooms and a den?
I think there's a great room involved here.
Okay.
A grimoire. Well, is it a form of a closet or something that you...
No, it is not. It is... much more literary than that, actually.
In the library,
yes. Can you? Do you
this
have any?
Is where you would keep your books of spells in the library.
That's exactly what it is. It is a book of spells and instructions and all kinds of incantations. Mm. That's a grimoire. The library is where you would keep it.
Wow.
Paula, I don't think you're going to get these, but I bet you'll never forget them.
Thank you.
We forget.
Two romantic legends accompany Halloween myth. One involves a mirror at midnight, and the other, dunking for apples. Can you divine these arcane traditions?
That's not mirror, mirror on the wall.
It is not. Well, in a sense.
Kind of who's the fairest of them all. Does the witch become beautiful at midnight?
No, not.
Or does the beautiful become a witch at midnight?
No. It does have to do with looking in the mirror at midnight.
Well, what happens when you look in the mirror at midnight? You become beautiful, you get a husband, you what?
You
meet your true love,
you do.
You see him in the mirror?
You just
do. If you look in the mirror, there he is.
That's the first of the legends.
And I had to wait till 36 to get married and no one told me that? I had no idea.
All you had to do was on Halloween at midnight, look in the mirror, you would see the face of your future spouse.
And his name was Bob Apple.
Bob Apple.
I'm waiting for the second part.
Okay, the bobbing for apples thing. Now.
What's the second part got to do with it?
What's the bobbing for
the
apples?
The bobbing
got
for
to
apples.
Do?
I'm going to give you the 10 points because I like how you handled that last one.
What?
The bobbing for apples, I could not believe. I'm just going to try to read this to you and see what it says. It was believed that if you could hold an apple between your teeth, you would have a fulfilling romance with whomever you chose.
Once you've lost,
I'm not touching that one.
Yeah. I think we're just going to put that out there and see what happens.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't doubt that if you can hold an apple between your teeth.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Don't go there.
No. Yeah, pretty
Done.
Much. Okay. Look at Barry. Have you ever seen a more terrorized expression? Barry, Halloween legend has it that a notorious practical joker tricked the devil into climbing into a tree and then carved an image of a cross on the trunk, trapping the devil aloft. Upon that jokester's death, he was denied heaven because of his evil ways and hell because of that trickery. So what happened to him, and what was his name?
Where
a
is
hushed
he now?
Silence.
He won the election. I had a sense we were safe here. He was forced to wander the earth, appearing on Halloween nights as a spirit.
He indeed had to wander the earth. What was his name?
And his name was Jack O'Lantern.
It certainly was. 10 points. Very good.
Great.
His name was Jack, all right, and he had to place a dark ember. The devil gave him a single ember to light his way, and he put it inside a turnip to keep it longer, and that was the first jack-o'-lantern. Excellent job, Barry.
You know how hard it is to carve a turnip?
That's why we don't do that.
Arnie does.
You're right.
I can't come to the phone now. I'm carving a turnip. For Halloween.
Right.
Let us go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the Bulldog Brass Band from Garfield High School. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points up for grabs to Tony if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Carolyn, if he cannot. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word guck. G-U-C-K. Guck. Folks? As we begin our 16th year, we wonder who will be the best Says You audience for 2012. Will it be the folks in Charlotte, North Carolina, that first weekend in January? certainly the citizens of Thousand Oaks or San Bernardino, California, when we get there in February. Do you live in Charlotte, Thousand Oaks, San Bernardino, need a great night out? All else fails, there's us at SaysYou.net. SaysYou, where the Join the Fun link tells you how to join the fun. And while you're there, we challenge you to come up with questions, because, hey, 16 years. Says You returns after this from home.
Good evening, this is 93.5 FM, and it's Radio Inferno again.
Bloody hell. A hearing voice is howling hour of horror.
I had expected hot roaring fires. I had expected a child of frightful appearance. It was but a small baby that bled and could not talk.
Bloody hell. A haunting Halloween hour from the humanoids at Hearing Voices.
Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday nights at 8 o'clock.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers.
You know, people develop strong attachments to their cars.
Yeah, and it's very hard to tell them. It's time to move on.
Something my brother's heard from every one of his wives.
Anyway, we have a way to ease the pain a bit. Now you can donate your car, and the net proceeds from its sale will benefit this station.
Interested? We thought so. Here's what to do.
For information on supporting Nashville Public Radio with your vehicle donation, visit our website, WPLN.org. You're listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio. The time is 9:21. It's 42 degrees in Nashville.
Here's a quick reminder. Says You heads out to Port Townsend, Washington for a Community Says You Sunday, November 13th. We invite you to come join your Northwest neighbors as they vie for verbal victory. Tickets, info, and details can be found on our Join the Fun link at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. So remember, Sunday afternoon, November 13th, Port Townsend performances of Says You. The Bulldog Brass Band. That is Carl Majot on the clarinet, Riley Mulherkar on trumpet, Willem DeCook on trombone, Jonas Myers on piano, Colleen Gilligan on bass, and James Squire on the drums. Thank you very much. I have to say one thing. If you don't think these are talented young people, about, I don't know what, 3 or 4 hours ago, I asked them if they could put together a theme in the minor key for our Halloween show. And they came up with the theme they did, and I think it's just great. That's, that is real professional stuff, folks. Congratulations. I also want to take a moment and thank our scorekeepers, Jamie and Matthew Crick. Thanks a lot, you guys, for keeping the score this week. We have had a few moments with the word guck. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
There once was a man with a guck. You know, guck.
Hey!
It sounds like it would be residue at the bottom of an old trick-or-treat bag. After a few months, you're still scrabbling. Is there anything in there? I've eaten all the Snickers bars, and you end up with this guck, you know, at the bottom. But actually, it's very close to that. To guck, or a guck, I don't know if it's an adjective or a noun, is to tamper with a treat. You know, it's the razor blade and the apple, the bug and the, you know, whatever. It's a guck.
Oh.
It's not a good thing.
To tamper with a treat is to guck.
Adulterated treats. To guck around with someone's treat.
To guck around is to tamper. Okay. That's one possibility.
It's the trick in the treat.
Arnold, do you have another?
Well, yeah, I do. It's actually, according to this, a term that's used by contractors a lot, with a term of no endearment, for any cheap adhesive used for mounting tiles on floors and walls are just a poor man's grout.
Poor man's grout is guck. Okay. Does it work, or is it just...
Not for long.
Not for long, okay.
Just enough to get paid.
Just enough to get paid, I suppose. Paula, what say you?
Well, actually, it kind of reminded me, this word, of something. One of my sisters in high school, you know how nasty we all are in high school. There was a girl who kept following her and her best friend around and imitating everything they did. So they decided to create a ridiculous term, saying. And sure enough, she kept copying them and spread it all around the school. And whenever anything weird would happen, they'd go, "Oh, mirage." They just made it up. So that's essentially what this is. It's a foolish saying. That's all it is. Guck is a foolish saying.
A nonsense saying, a foolish saying is a guck.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. So it is either a foolish saying, a poor man's grout, or to tamper, as with a treat. That is what guck means, one of those three. And Tony, your thoughts?
A guck, I think it's unfair to use guck because it's one of those words that I think almost anybody can appropriate and use. Every field of life has got a guck of some form. My mother-in-law makes a wonderful, wonderful chicken dish called chicken guck. Honestly, it's 6 pounds of butter, several bottles of cream, deep frying, and
couple
of
bottles of wine,
breadcrumbs, and you chase it with Lipitor.
Chicken guck.
That's chicken guck. So chicken guck. I don't know. Given the fact that everybody could use this word, maybe it's just a silly word. Maybe it's a silly saying.
I get the sense that that Arnie had a good sense there that. It's cheap adhesive that just lasts until the check clears or until the gucking check clears.
You don't think it's like, you know, get out and
guck. Guck tape.
Guck tape.
Guck tape. Guck tape. I like that. Oh, gosh. Well, given the kind of reasoning that goes into answering these things, that's an absolutely ridiculous reason to give it to
him.
Maybe that's why we should. But I'm still holding out for a fake word, you know. We've all had that temptation.
Whimsical foolishness.
Yes, whimsical foolishness. Like the way my parents used to call me a good boy. You know, one of these false terms that buoyed me up.
Have a nice day, my friend.
Have a nice day. So what do you think, guys?
I'm fine with foolish saying.
Foolish saying?
I'm not convinced.
For the record, you're not going with this one.
If you want to stick your neck out,
Paula,
go right ahead.
Paula, it's yours.
Paula, they think a guck is a foolish saying. Is that, in fact, what it is?
A guck is a foolish saying.
Oh.
And boys, well deduced. Let's go on to round three. Lee Bradley of Valdosta, Georgia, hears us on WWET-FM. He sent us a round of mixed messages. I'll give you some well-known words of wise counsel. For 10 points, please give me another popular adage that apparently contradicts. An example, the bigger the better, is contradicted by the best things come in small packages.
Oh, more foolish sayings. More guck.
Let's
more
try
guck
it.
For your buck.
Carolyn,
yes.
What might be the antithetical thought to the pen is mightier than the sword?
Sticks and stones will break your bones.
A pen is mightier than
the sword.
You know, in
something about
speak softly but carry a big stick.
You know, that would work actually.
Insured, the bumper sticker that says insured by Smith & Wesson.
Have you seen that bumper sticker? That's just a.
The pen is mightier than the sword.
You know, I have to give you some credit for you know, your suggestions, because I think they are, you
speak
know.
Softly, but carry.
The pen is muddier than the sword, but the sword can give you a worse paper cut.
Yeah, that's true.
Nobody ever committed harakiri with a Bic.
Well, I'm definitely going to give you 5 points because you did have some good thoughts there. I'll go to the other side. You have any thoughts?
They started printing it on our money. Might makes right.
Well, might makes right.
Might makes right?
Yeah, that's possible. But anybody in the audience have anything better?
All of these.
There you go. Yes, thank you, ma'am.
Actions speak louder than words.
Actions
louder than words.
You know, actions, those are really not corollaries.
Well, actions speak louder than words, I think, is the best one we could come up with there. So, you know, that's what we were looking for.
So even though we came up with two, and you came up with one,
that would also work.
We only get 5 points.
You know what? They're right. Give them 8 points total. So another 3 points. I think that's fair. Tony?
Yes.
What might be the antithetical thought to look before you leap?
Look before you leap?
Mm-hmm. Duck.
Duck. Not going to get many points for
duck. Look before you leap. A stitch in time? No.
Haste?
Haste makes waste.
No, that's the same.
No, that's the same.
No, it's about
no that's the same thing. That's pretty much the same. This is going to be a harder category than the
look before you leap.
Could it have something to do with the tortoise and the hare?
He who hesitates is lost.
The tortoise?
Yes. What?
That's exactly right. 10 points for answer. He who hesitates is lost. Very good. Try this one, Arnie. Many hands make light work.
Too many cooks spoil the broth.
Indeed they do. 10 points. Now we're picking up some speed here. Francine, try this one, since you were so good with the last one. With age comes wisdom.
We're waiting to hear it.
All right, you're as dumb as you feel.
And
out of the mouths of babes.
Out of the mouths of babes.
You heard the wisdom. There it is. Very good.
Out of the mouths of babes.
Making quick
that's
work of this.
That's, of course, not the only thing that comes out of the mouths of babes.
Yeah.
You know. That's, then you can duck. See.
From the duck.
Try this one. Try this one, Paula. Beware of Greeks bearing gifts.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
There's another 10 points. They're rocking and rolling.
Great.
And finally, Barry, try this one. Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, and
familiarity
out of sight,
breed
out
contempt.
Of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Familiarity breeds contempt.
Four.
So this leaves us where?
This week's Spotlight Round comes at our request. It's a return to our fourth season, a cold October afternoon in Lincoln, Massachusetts, when we celebrated Halloween that year with a round of literary horror. Please identify the following passages from horrible literature by telling me the title of the work and the author. Carolyn, one of the phenomena which had peculiarly attracted my attention was the human frame, and indeed any animal endued with life.
Well, sounds like Frankenstein.
It does sound like Frankenstein by Mary Shelley.
10 points. Yeah. Very good. It is from Frankenstein. It is Dr. Frankenstein, and it is Mary Shelley's work of the same name. Try this one, Tony. Meanwhile, Phoebus laughed and began to take the part of the bohemian girl with a mixture of impertinence and pity.
Oh.
Wasn't that originally Moby Dick started out as a horror story? I think it was Spooky Dick.
No, it wasn't.
Could you repeat that, Richard?
Yes. Meanwhile, Phoebus laughed and began to take the part of the bohemian girl with a mixture of impertinence and pity.
God, well, you know, it sounds like Edgar Allan Poe.
It is not,
his kind of language, but I haven't a clue.
I think the clue is almost
Phoebus.
On the end of that.
A mixture of...
impertinence and pity.
Pity.
I don't believe the pity part at all.
Yeah. That's probably the part you should believe, because from the other side...
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
By...
Victor Hugo.
Yes, The Hunchback of Notre Dame by Victor Hugo. That's where that is from.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one?
These are tough, though. When they're quoted out of context, they're very, very difficult.
Okay.
Arnie, try this. Indeed, we see very little of him on this side of the house. He mostly comes and goes by the laboratory.
Is this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
Oh, it is. It is, in fact, by...
Robert Louis Stevenson.
10 points. Very good, Arne. Okay. Excellent. It is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson. Good. Francine, within stood a tall old man, clean-shaven save for a long white mustache, and clad in black from head to foot, without a single speck of color about him anywhere.
God, it sounds like the Christmas Carol, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Clueless. Clueless.
Not really. That's
Long white Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Well, very
10 points. That is who that is. A tall old man without a speck of color about him is Dracula from Bram Stoker. Paula, I love this one. Down steadily it crept. I took a frenzied pleasure in contrasting its downward with its lateral velocity.
Say it again.
Downward and lateral
down
velocity.
Steadily it crept. I took a frenzied pleasure in contrasting its downward with its lateral velocity.
The blob.
Lateral velocity.
The other side.
Downward
is this
Poe? Crept.
It is, in fact.
So it's... is this Telltale Heart?
It is not the Telltale
Heart. Is it the Mask of the Red Death?
Mask of the Red Death.
It is not the Mask of the Red
Death. It is not
the Mask.
I keep going through everything.
Could it be?
Oh,
The Fall of the House of Usher.
Not the Fall of the House of Usher. No.
Okay, we're running out of Poe.
We go to the
Cask of Amontillado.
No, it's not the Cask of Amontillado.
Okay.
We go to the other side for...
It's the pit and the
pendulum!
It is the pit and the pendulum, yes. Oh. Downward steadily it crept. I took a frenzied pleasure in contracting its downward. With its lateral velocity.
Yeah.
Edgar Allan Poe's The Pit and the Pendulum.
Oh.
And finally, Barry, on the bank of the broad part of the brook was found the hat of the unfortunate schoolmaster, and close behind it, a shattered pumpkin.
The Legend of Sleepy Hollow... by
Washington Irving.
Irving, Washington Irving.
Yes. No, it isn't Irving Washington, Irving but it is, in fact, Washington Irving. Yes, very good.
You didn't hear the comma.
Oh, yes, it is the comma. I missed the comma.
I was giving you the card catalog answer.
That's on our spotlight round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack research team into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can let us know your choice by following the Got a Good One link on our webpage at sayu.net. That's SAYSYOU. That's our look back. Now, back to the present. Let's go on to round four, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to create a definition for the word kiss.
K-I-S.
Kiss. Folks? Says you coming to our town. Where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website at sayu.net. There you can find tickets to tapings, Dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. And if you dare, you can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and so much more at sayu.net. That's SAYSYOU. Sayu pauses. We'll be right back.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, a constitutional amendment on the ballot in Mississippi to say life begins at conception. We'll look at the next abortion battlefront. Plus, famed writer Amos Oz talks about the hidden truths of everyday life in Israel. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11.
I'm Lisa Mullins. PRI's The World brings you more than just the day's news.
Well, the poor old British pub has been around for 2,000 years.
We introduce you to people around the globe.
I'm a Liberian, but I'm part of Africa.
If we were only in Argentina.
I think it's a Scottish thing, you know? This sense of doom there, but it's always kind of amusing to us.
Join us and hear The World.
Weeknights at 9 o'clock.
Support for the broadcast of Says You on WPLN is made possible in part by the generous support of Nashville Public Radio members. You can join our community of supporters by making a tax-deductible contribution online at WPLN.org. The time is 9:40. It's 45 degrees in Nashville.
The Bulldog Brass Band from Garfield High School. Thank you very much, guys. We've had some time with the word kiss. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Well, it was not Hershey's first attempt at that famous candy, which was actually chocolate on the outside and foil on the inside. It was called the Kiss Surprise. Well, let me take you into the jungle for a second. Think about those monkeys that you see constantly going through the trees. Take a closer look at their faces. Do they look as if maybe they're grimacing? And what about the sound that they make? Have you ever stopped to consider it's because going through trees like that really hurts? A kiss is a cyst on a monkey's hand.
What?
Not a blister.
What?
You laugh. But I see you sitting in those comfortable seats. I only see one person swinging from the rafters. And he's a major funder.
A cyst on a monkey's hand.
A cyst on a monkey's hand.
Maybe quite continental.
Oh.
Monkeys are a girl's best friend.
All right, well, we'll go with that. Francine, kiss.
Well, this is a very, up here, a very media-savvy crowd, and they are familiar with a lot of short-form terms that are instructions on scripts, such as VO, which means voiceover.
They're fired. That's another one.
M-O-S is man on street, S-O-T, sound on tape. And another term, and occasionally these come up, even though we are media-savvy persons, but occasionally these terms come up and they're not familiar to everyone. Kiss means keep in sync with sound. Keep your picture and your sound in sync. K-I-S.
You have to tell people to do that?
Only if you don't want to be chained to the editing room. Yeah.
Have you ever watched Godzilla?
Keep in sync.
Keep in sync.
K-I-S. Keep in sync. Good advice. Barry, kiss.
Kiss is a variety of English wheat worm. Richard actually had I'm surprised you don't know this, because Richard actually had the song in which it appears. Marilyn Monroe sang about agriculture with "A kiss on the sheaf may be so continental," but DDT's a colonel's best friend.
In the hot pink dress.
In the hot pink dress.
With the black long gloves.
English wheat what?
Oh,
a
wheat worm.
Is that a whole wheat
with the
worm?
Wheat.
A kiss is a variety of English wheat worm about which Marilyn Monroe once sang.
Okay, okay, okay.
In the hot pink dress.
I'm making that part up, actually. But the kiss is really an English wheat worm.
Yeah, I think we get
English
the drift here. It's,
I didn't know English worms had nationalities.
So a kiss is either an English wheat worm, an expression meaning to keep in sync, an instruction to keep in sync, or a cyst on a monkey's hand. I can hardly wait to hear this. Carolyn, that is the choice. Go for it.
I would rule out English wheat worm.
I'm sorry?
Just because English, I don't know why it would have to be in English.
Right. All wheat worms are Dutch. Anyone knows that.
Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean,
it was Carrie's attempt at wry humor.
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
Francine's sounded tremendously persuasive, and as if it might be absolutely correct, so maybe we should rule it out.
I know, that's what
well,
I
he
was
gave
just getting tricky.
He's given us weird, you know, industrial terms from television
except
before. So
cyst on a monkey's hand. I mean, as bizarre as Tony might be.
Be.
That he was presented with a card that said cyst on a monkey's hand and then went through that whole folderol of let me bring you into the jungle.
Why would they name a cyst on a monkey's hand? Why wouldn't you just call it a cyst?
Well, if you're a veterinarian at a zoo and you're specialist...
Oh, he's got a little cyst on his hand.
Why did they name dirt that goes back into a grave?
Good point.
I mean...
Good point.
There are no rational answers
here. No, there's no
here.
Rational. Forget it. I'm using logic. There's no point for this.
No, so
I thought it meant keep it simple, but
yeah, I well, think it might be keep it simple.
Okay.
Or I don't. Know.
I don't. Cyst on a monkey's hand. You know, I don't want to be wrong about this.
But.
But I may well be. So are we going with Francine then?
No, go with me.
Well, I don't
you're
want to
captain.
Go do this alone.
You're the captain.
Yes, you
have
are.
Fun. Have fun.
But we're a team.
Not today. Eleven years is enough. Go ahead.
In real time.
Yeah. Just go for it. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to go for the monkey cyst then. I'm going alone into the jungle.
Go ahead. I wish you luck.
She's going to go for the monkey cyst.
Just
audience,
it.
How many of you think she's right?
Oh.
No, not too many.
Oh, well.
But you're going to be awfully surprised if Tony says that's the definition. Tony, is that what it is?
Well, you know.
I think you got it.
That was a bluff. Okay, audience?
Oh,
what do you think it was?
Oh.
One.
That's a decidedly split audience, so we'll just have to ask. Someone up there was telling the truth.
I don't understand why.
Who was that?
Me.
Oh, it is a wheatworm.
Kiss is a weevil, the English wheat worm.
Wow.
Is a kiss.
Isn't that all Dutch?
I didn't say weevil.
10 points.
If you'd said weevil. Oh, yeah, we'd have gotten that.
And so England is the axis of weevil.
Oh, but no, I'm not going there. Trust me.
We had you going there, didn't we?
Let's close out our Halloween show with an All Hallows version of Melded Movies. Please combine the titles of very, very scary movies, the ones we allude to here, to create a melded title for the following plot line. An example, an innocent man stumbles into a spy network in England and is forced to flee to a perfect spouse,
perfect
is the 39 Stepford Wives.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
39 Stepford Wives. try this one, Carolyn. The Melded Movie, a propaganda classic about trained rats.
A propaganda classic about trained rats?
Yes.
Triumph of the Wilbur.
Ooh.
Triumph of the Willard is right.
Willard.
Which is a combination, of course, of Triumph of the Will and Willard.
Willard.
The famous rat movie.
Willard.
Who starred in Willard? Does anyone remember?
Who starred?
Yeah, but what was his name? That was Crispin Glover? That's right. That was the remake, the original. I think it was Bruce Davidson.
Oh, wow.
Is that right?
Yeah, Bruce Davidson.
Okay. Try this one, Tony. An adopted mouse's adventures with a cannibalistic plant.
Oh, you know, the Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Stuart Little Shop of Horrors.
Right.
Stuart Little Shop of Horrors. Okay, we're making these a bit too easy. So let's now try triplets.
Triplets.
Three movies combined into one title. Ready for this one, Arnie?
No, but go ahead.
Yeah. First, public high school kids fight Russians. Then everybody fights zombies for the second time. And eventually the prep school kids seize the day.
Okay, Dawn of the Dead Poets Society is the second and third.
Dawn of the Dead Poets.
Yeah.
The beginning was public high school kids fight Russians.
Blackport Jungle? What?
Red Dawn?
Red Dawn?
Red Dawn of the Dead Poets Society.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
I'm so glad I saw Dawn of the Dead just a few nights ago. You know, and the guy says, well, they're alive or dead? Well, they're dead-ish. They fall down, then they get up, and they start eating each other.
Yeah. Try this one, Francine. Polish actors bamboozle Nazis while a wife with magical powers meets the worst film director of all time.
Oh, my God. Say it again.
Polish actors bamboozle Nazis while a wife with magical powers meets the worst film director of all time.
It's a triplet?
Wife with magical powers. That's Bewitched.
Bewitched.
Yep.
And the Polish actors, that's that great one with Mel Brooks and Jack Benny.
That Jack originally did. Yeah. I can't remember the title.
And so it's Bewitched. And what was the last movie?
Meets the worst film director.
Oh, that's really pushing it.
The worst film director of all time.
Yeah.
That's what it is. The one that came out recently about this guy who directed, if not horror movies, then...
Ed. It's the one thing with Johnny Depp in it, right?
It's exactly right.
Yeah. Yep.
Ed.
They're circling the wagons.
Ed Wood. Bewitched Ed Wood.
Yep.
So the first thing, the one with Jack Benny and... Or no, Polish actors
yes.
and Boozle Nazi. That's the one with Jack Benny
right.
where they're doing Hamlet or something. Right.
So which ought to help you?
Hamlet, to be or not to be, witched.
Edward.
Edward.
There you go.
Edward.
I think Barry lost about 3-4 pounds on that one, don't you? When he got there, to be or not to be bewitched, and Ed Wood is to be or not to bewitched Ed Wood.
Witched Wood, right? Is that what you're going
Witched
for?
Yeah,
Witched
Wood. Try this one, Paula. And this is just miserable. Oh. A vengeful ex-con hallucinates while wandering among gamblers with a murderous husband trying to drive his wife mad.
What?
Gaslight.
Okay. Yeah. Gaslight at the end. Okay. We know Gaslight.
Yep. Say that
A vengeful ex-con
hallucinates while wandering amid gamblers.
Amid gamblers.
With a murderous husband trying to drive his wife mad.
Oh, leaving Las Vegas. Las Vegas light.
Well, almost there.
Leaving Las Vegas gaslight. Who's the vengeful ex-con?
No, it's not.
That really
leaving.
Narrows it down.
It's what? Not leaving Las Vegas.
No.
It's Viva.
Viva Las Vegas.
No.
Vegas?
I think the word hallucinates comes in handy there.
Fear and Loathing. So what was the first one? Oh, Cape Fear and Loathing
in Las Vegas.
Gaslight.
Can you do that for me in English?
No.
Cape Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas Light.
Yeah. Was that right?
Las Vegas Light.
Okay, fine. Yeah. It is, of course, the combination of Cape Fear, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and, of course, Gaslight from the Vague Gaslight. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas Light. And finally, Barry, a small-time theatrical agent helps a singer cheat on his wife while another wife is given to the devil and a beautiful young wife is fought over by two older men. That happened in my neighborhood last week.
It was what was the first part? Say it again.
A small-time theatrical agent helps a singer cheat on his wife while another wife is given to the devil and a beautiful young wife is fought over by two older men.
The small-time theatrical agent, that's the Woody Allen movie.
It is.
Yeah.
And the wife to the devil, that's the one with the law firm.
The what?
No? Is there a law firm involved in that? A wife is given. Okay. And
always.
A beautiful young wife. And
no.
That's the one where a beautiful young wife is fought over by two older men. Is that the one that's the one word title with?
No.
No.
So I'm not even close.
No.
How about Gidget Goes Deathless?
No, that's
somebody
not.
Somebody gives a wife to the devil.
Does the other side know?
What's
say
the,
that.
Arnie,
what's the Woody Allen one? Is it Danny?
Rosemary's Baby. Broadway Danny, Rosemary's Baby. You're a rich man now. Baby.
No. Yeah. Two older men.
I never thought of that. Carol Baker, classic.
A beautiful young wife.
Baby cakes.
Is fought over by older men, and it begins with baby.
I know. I never saw it.
You never saw it.
No.
I think we're going to have to give them 8 points.
Baby, you're a rich man now.
Baby cakes.
Bringing up.
We're going to have to give them 8 points and go to the other side.
Broadway Danny, Rosemary's Baby Doll.
Baby doll. Baby doll is right.
Baby doll.
I have to tell you, you cannot fight any more valiantly than Carolyn's team. 88 points this week, and yet not enough. A three-figure day for Tony Khan's team. Winners this week. Congratulations. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Jeff Hansen, Alex Comer, and all the folks at KUOW-FM, our hosts in Seattle. Thanks to Shirley Bossier, Opus Bialik, and all the staff here at Town Hall. Once every few weeks, we remind you that this show is truly best when we get your questions, when we get your comments, and most of all, when you show up. Now go out there and scare somebody, and we'll see you next week. You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You. Created and produced by Pippin and Finch. Boston.
You've been listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule for all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org.
I'm Krista Tippett. Next time on Being, renowned Tibetan Buddhist teacher Matthieu Ricard. He trained as a cell biologist and is now part of the Dalai Lama's ongoing dialogue with scientists. We'll explore why he's been called the happiest man in the world and how he understands spirituality as contemplative science. Please join me. That's from 8 p.m.
Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock. Nashville weather for today, mostly sunny skies, the high in the lower 60s, scattered sprinkles tonight, and mostly cloudy, and the low around 40 degrees, mostly sunny tomorrow, the high near 63, right now 40.